Senior Focus.
Welcome everyone, I'm Anne-Marie Curry, your presenter for this edition of Senior Focus. And I am doing a chat show today, really a bit of a review of where we've been and where we're going, and a little bit of concern about some of the policy issues out there, and some warnings about some upcoming events so that you can attend these if they interest you. First of all, just it is midwinter. It is the time when perhaps it's hardest to get out, but at the same time, the rewards are very great, because when you do meet up with people that you haven't seen for a while, it can really give you a boost. So I encourage you to get out. And with Matariki coming, that's a public holiday on the 28th of June, it's an opportunity to do things with your grandkids. For example, the planetarium is open and it's free. So where it's normal, it could normally be an expense to take your grandkids to, you can all go for free. We're doing a special session on Matariki this coming Sunday, so I invite you to tune into that. And in the meantime, I'm contemplating a midwinter's Christmas dinner with friends, because it's the right time of the year to eat Christmas pudding, I think. I often don't feel like it in the summer. And it gives us a chance to get together and enjoy each other's company, stay warm and eat well. So there will be other opportunities to meet people in your neighbourhoods. There are a number of community hubs having, if not a Christmas dinner, then certainly a community dinner, and you've got those opportunities. It's a time to reflect and review, being Māori New Year, and sometimes people do find that because it's winter time and they're shut in, they do more thinking, they do more reflecting on things. And recently this month, I was fortunate to go to the Climate Connect Aotearoa gathering and hear Reriata Mahike, who is an astronomer from up north, and a fascinating gentleman. But his sage advice about this time of the year was to, when you're reviewing projects and you think about what's unfinished, what you haven't been able to complete, it's a really good idea to review what's redundant, what's unnecessary, what could be wound up very swiftly, or what needs to be carried over. He doesn't agree with carrying things over just as they are, though. He advises that it's really good to completely repackage what you're carrying into the next year. Give it a new name or make it a new version and refresh it. Highlight some fresh thinking. Bring fresh people involved. Raise the vibrancy and motivate people to get the task done. I think it's very sage advice, and I'm certainly going to apply it. This week coming is, we've got various things that we celebrate, and I noticed that in this past week we've got Men's Health Week, and that's taken on a much higher profile since it began 2 or 3 years back. I mean, it's got getting quite a momentum. So if you are a man listening in, I suggest you have a look at menshealth.co.nz. You might be surprised at what sort of ways they ask you to evaluate yourself to see where and how you measure up, what your scorecard is. And I know a lot of us have health issues and things that we hope they'll go away, but often they don't. So it's a really good idea to check these things out. Now, World Elder Abuse Day is on the 15th of June, and that was yesterday. So you will possibly have seen something in the news about this. Certainly, it is a global day that's celebrated around the world, and it's to draw attention to the fact that many elders suffer at the hands of their family, friends, neighbours, etc., because they're taken advantage of financially or in other ways. But in particular, people do quote a figure of 10% being affected in New Zealand, but many authorities, many social service organisations say that's the tip of the iceberg, and that there's much of it is hidden. We don't really know the complete extent. But for us who are advocating for seniors' wellbeing and advocating for policy changes and so on, greater transparency at places like banks is very important. So I think people are getting a bit more sophisticated in how they go about dealing with their relatives' money, but it does pose problems. In some families, there is a lot of argument and even physical fighting over who has the access to the bank card and how it's used, and also what the future will be for the caregiving and the caregiving arrangements for the parent. This isn't a wonderful situation. It's not something that one wants to talk about, really, but it's tearing some families apart, and it's very difficult for people to deal with. There's a lot of shame and a lot of guilt and a lot of distress around this. And unfortunately, while the banks may be sharpening up their tools about measuring transparency and keeping an eye out for unusual activity, it's different in the health sector, and sometimes a particular person can take power within a family and find that they are the central person that the health authorities are dealing with, even though they themselves may be a perpetrator of a lot of the stress in the family. They may indeed be violent themselves, they may be unsuited to the caregiving role, but somehow, if they're clever and smart, they work the system. So they become the caregiver. And this creates even further distress for the rest of the family. It's not easy to unravel these things. It's not easy to go to the Health and Disability Commission and get the sort of support you need. And so this is where you might want to enlist the help of the CAB initially in determining what's the right course of action, whether it's to go to the police or whether it's to go to the Health and Disability Commission, what sort of documentation you require, and so on. You do need, I think, a pathway, and you need to be able to talk to someone who actually understands the structures and can give you the best advice, rather than just talking to any person like a neighbour or someone who may not know a great deal about it. I hope that you won't end up in that situation. But if you do, I assure you that the CAB are set up. They're very confidential and they are very organised, and they have access to a lot of resources, both online and through their networks. So by going to them initially, you can be assured that you're going to tap into really valuable help. It's Also the time of the year when a number of organisations are having their AGMs, and I have mentioned before that North Shore Grey Power are having an AGM, and the date that was given by Trish Deans in a former program has actually shifted twice, and so I'm going to confirm that it is on Friday the 21st of June, and it's at 1 p.m. and it's in the North Harbour Netball Court building, the stadium, in Northcote Road, which is easy to get to either from the city, taking the Northcote Road exit off the motorway, or on the shore itself, coming down Taharoto Road and turning into Northcote Road. The meeting starts at 1, it will be over by 3, afternoon tea is provided, and you're all welcome. It's open to the public, you don't have to be a member, and by coming along you get to see who's actually standing for election in this organisation. You get to hear from Trish Deans, who is the president on offer. She's currently the vice president, but standing for president. And she's got a tremendous background and heritage. So she has wears many hats. She's on the Civic Trust, and she was on the Takapuna Devonport Local Board. So she's got a lot of experience at currently working with the emergency management planning for the Devonport Peninsula, and is also been meeting recently with Desley Simpson over the long-term transport plan for Auckland. So she's got her work cut out already and is sailing ahead and making some inroads. And over the housing scheme, which was to own your own unit, where there are quite a few hundred of these units spread across the city available for seniors, the problem there, she highlighted, was that a large number of those units are empty and they are not in good state. They're not being maintained properly. But the other problem was that the residents hadn't been kept informed about the council's plan to sell off its holdings. So the council has a proportion of ownership, a proportional ownership of the units, and the council planned to sell that ownership off. And that presented many headaches for the residents, most of which was the lack of information, creating such anxiety, not knowing what it meant for their future. Trish has actually been successful in getting Radio New Zealand to interview her on this topic. She has written extensively on it and been published in different places, and I do think that the whole issue has come onto another level because Desley Simpson at council is taking definite notice of this issue and is looking behind the scenes at what structure could be put in place, how Kāinga Ora, for example, could become involved. I can't really announce anything, but I can just say that it's a work in progress and there is light at the end of the tunnel. And that's thanks to Trish. So I think she's going to be a real asset as the new president, and it would be interesting to get along to that meeting, because quite often we get politicians coming, we get the likes of Desley Simpson herself has come, but we also have other interesting speakers that come. So I recommend, if you want to get the lowdown on what's happening and the wider scheme of things, then get along to that meeting. Now, going back to the elder abuse issue and World Elder Abuse Day, one of the things that probably is quite significant in this whole equation is just the rapid growth of the ageing population. And around the world, we've never had so many older people in every country in the world, whether it's a developed country or a developing country. And of course, Japan is very well known for its number of people who are over 100. And you see them on railway stations, moving slowly sometimes, but still enjoying life, still participating, still getting out and still doing things. And it's a great example of how that happens when you've got good public transport. And that's one of the reasons why transport advocacy is a major thing for organisations like Grey Power and Age Concern, to bring it to the attention of the people making decisions around the table, most of whom don't use public transport, so they don't know what the issues are at all. And it's, I mean, it's very, very challenging because probably more women are involved in aged care, in caring for older relatives and so on, and have greater insight into the mobility needs of older people. But there are very few women on the transport planning committees, on the governing body transport committee, on the AT board and so on, because you see the majority of people there are men and they have very little experience of the aged care sector. And that's an issue that that's an issue for council itself, but it's also an issue for the advocacy people that they keep drawing attention to this. And that's why it's so important that the likes of Grey Power has a strong relationship with Desley Simpson, because of her seniority on the council as a councillor and her knowledge of the pathways into the decision-making tables. The other topics that are being emphasised by the organisations advocating for seniors' wellbeing are the aged care sector itself, what's happening in that sector, what's happening with the lack of planning for beds. And it's expected that in the next decade there will be 13,000 hospital beds wanted and nowhere in sight, because nobody has planned for this, there's no budget. Government currently doesn't provide these beds, and what is provided in the private sector is gradually shrinking. So just at a time when we need more beds, we've actually got less. The main retirement villages are decreasing the number of hospital beds they have in their wing, their care wing. And not all of them have these anyway. Only some have these. And they're prioritising people getting into them through being already resident in a village. So if you're someone who owns your own house and you get to a point where you need care, getting into one of these beds in a village is not easy. And this is the kind of future that some of us are going to face in the next 8 to 10 years, the difficulty of getting one of these beds. And you think, I probably won't need one. You think like this, but you don't realise how quickly within a 5-year or an 8-year span your body can actually deteriorate as part of the ageing process. And for some it goes faster than for others, but there is a need for care, and a certain proportion of people will need that, and they will need the beds. So we need to keep asking, where are they? How are they going to materialise? Now, another topic area that we focus on is housing. So I've talked about transport and aged and the aged care sector, but with housing, I think it's not just whether you have a roof over your head, but is that roof suitable? I mean, are you in a rattling round in a large home where you don't need most of that space? It's just extra work, but you don't really need it all. And your lifestyle's different. It's changed from what from when you the house was full and you had your children there and they all needed everything that was there. But how do you downsize and stay in your community where you can talk to people you know? And that's the big dilemma. It's such an issue. That's why a lot of people, even though they don't necessarily want to go to a retirement village, they actually go there because that's the only thing that they can do in their locality. It's the only choice. Even though it's not the best choice or the choice that they really want to make. And this housing situation has also got an economic bent to it because all that I said previously assumes that you have the money to do all this. But in actual fact, only 20% of seniors are actually heading into retirement villages or already there. That leaves 80% of us not going there. But what is there for us? So that's an issue that's in people's minds. It doesn't go away. It's just a constant concern. What do I do when the roof needs repair and I can't get a loan to do that work? In other countries, and in particular Australia, it's possible to get a low-interest loan to do repairs on your house. So you can stay in your house if you want to, but you also could subdivide your house and live in part of it and rent the other part out, because you'd have the money to be able to replicate the kitchen bathroom facilities. And that's what's crucial, of course, for both renting and for your own comfort. And it would be such an easy solution, really. And the money that it would cost you to do would be probably what you would spend if you sold your own house and went to buy into something else. It also takes away that uncertainty that comes with the retirement village issue, where what you buy is a license to occupy. You don't actually own anything. And there could be some unpleasant consequences to that in the long run, as some people found out in the red zone in Christchurch when their retirement village was no longer habitable, but they were left with nothing. No payout, no insurance, because the insurance went to the retirement village owners and they were left couch surfing. Now, I think it's really also worthwhile looking at what else is changing out there, what's changing in health and what advocacy is going on in the health sector. Because while health and aged care overlap, there are some specific issues about access to healthcare generally. And one of those is access to your GP. And that requires a certain amount of a level of advocacy that's very high. That means the likes of Grey Power has a team of people that go and meet with the Minister of Health and actually present cases. And that's what ministers like. They like the detail. They like to know what's happening to individuals. And that can often persuade them about the wrongfulness or the unfairness of certain systems and how they're working or not working. So those people who belong to Grey Power or Age Concern, your actual situation, if you find that you are not able to get into a GP, you're not able to get the level of service you need, you're not able to get the tests you need, you're on a waiting list for assessment at a hospital, and you've been waiting months to find out to have a scan or to find out further information so that you know whether surgery is happening or not happening. All of these kinds of dilemmas can be taken up. If you're not happy with the progress, then these organisations that advocate can actually take your case and they can take it forward to as far as the Minister of Health. So that's the advantage in your membership of those organisations. Now, with health, it pays to become knowledgeable about what your choices are. Recently, there was an article in The Listener about the inappropriate medication that people are on, the fact that they're on medications for long periods of time without any review, the fact that they're being over-medicated. And the fact, what I'm talking about is this is statistical information that has been gathered through serious research that's been done professionally. This is not my opinion. Now, with the situation where you're being over-medicated, you can have multiple reactions to certain meds, and sometimes in concert, where you're taking three at the one time, you can end up with a number of side effects which can get complicated. So this is the kind of situation where a review of the medication is really desirable. Recently in the UK, they published some guidelines and then they got together and they put them out internationally about what is recommended for older people. Sometimes the dosages need to be changed. Certain medications have proven not to be very useful in some situations. So that also is information that you should have. And it's really important for you to find your happy medium with all of this, and asking questions of your GP is the best way to go. So thank you for listening today, and I hope that you'll be sticking with us and enjoying our Matariki session next week. Bye for now.
Together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus, and do note Senior Focus is one word.